Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Okay, we have a show for you, everyone. We have been trying to get Lacey Redway, the famous hairstylist, everyone, on for the show for like since 2016. Like, she even talks about it. And
yes,
finally,
hi,
she's here.
Hi, that's Jess talking. I'm Jen. This is Fat Mascara,
hey,
Fat Mascara, the
beauty podcast. Okay, sorry. Hi. Listen, you press play on the damn show, okay? You know where you are, okay? Unless you like, where am I pressing buttons?
Remember my mission to get us like search indexed better?
Yeah. Hi, I'm still waiting for one of our Google listeners to a Google executive.
Explain it.
Hi, very big, powerful Google executive. Who's also a
Lacey probably
fan.
Knows one someone at Google. She knows everyone.
All right.
Welcome to the show,
what's up,
guys.
Hey,
I'm excited
too.
You're right. Lacey, we've known her for years and we've been trying to have her on the show and everything collided. It's perfect. Listen, the scope of her portfolio is insane. She's done editorial work for Elle, Essence, Vanity Fair, Vogue, Teen Vogue. She got her start working in salons, backstage at fashion shows. These days, her celebrity client list is so extensive. I'm just going to name a few. Tessa Thompson, Ashley Graham, Priyanka Chopra, Zazie Beetz, Anne Hathaway. It seriously goes on and on. Carly Kloss, Gabrielle Union, Awkwafina. Should I continue? I'd be here like all day. She's also a hair educator. She's worked for Nexxus and she's a spokesperson for Tresemme. She splits her time between New York and LA, but as you'll hear in the interview, she's actually Jamaican, was born there and spent her early childhood there. And you'll also hear about her formative moment that put her on the path to becoming a hairstylist. We talk about some of her favorite products, her number one tip for hair health, just like a good chat about the industry in general, catching up with a dear friend. We're so excited to have you on, Lacey Redway. Let's do it. Lacey Redway, welcome to Fat Mascara. Hi.
Hi. First of all, you guys, hi.
Hi, Lacey.
I've been like looking at emails dating back from 2016 that we've been trying to do this.
It's so embarrassing. We're like stalking you.
No, I'm like, first of all, I apologize for taking so long to be on this podcast. I'm such a fan of your podcast. And, you know, it just... it got a little busy for a little minute, but honestly, 2020 is both like a gift and a, you know, like there's so
much,
the silver lining for that is just like reassessing and reevaluating and just like prioritizing things that are important to you. And for me, this is important to me, like being able to talk to you guys and being able to, you know, speak and, you know, hear your audience and being able to, for them to hear my story. And if it like helps one person, you know, decide to like follow their dreams or whatever have you, I'm grateful for that opportunity. So thank you for sharing your platform with me.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, reassess and reconnect since we haven't seen you in a while. And now we know your story a little bit, but yeah, we want to share with our listeners. Tell everybody, how did you even become a hairstylist?
Okay, that is like a loaded question because I've been like, when I say it, it sounds kind of crazy because I'm also still quite a young person, but I've been doing hair since I was 11 years old. So, yeah, I immigrated to the United States from Jamaica, the island. And I have to say the island because,
as
you know,
not Queens.
Yeah, you know, only New Yorkers really get that. Yeah. But, you know, I have to differentiate that. And yeah. Jamaica, the island. And I came to the United States when I was 8 years old. You know, very, very common immigrant family story. You know, my mom came here, you know, she was a nurse in Jamaica and my dad was a police officer in Jamaica and, you know, they immigrated here and, you know, trying to make a better life for their family, you know? So, I came here when I was 8 and then, my mom had someone put a relaxer in my hair pretty early on, like at 8 years old, because also, you know, growing up in the 90s, you know, most parents didn't know how to take care of texture. There weren't a lot of like products on the market or there weren't a lot of, you know, real education on how to care for textured hair. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our parents were also struggling. So that was the solution that we knew was to put this chemical, you know, in our hair that we now know is so damaging for us. And my hair fell out. So I kind of became my own hairdresser. And along with that, you know, also coming from an immigrant family, you know, I wanted to have my own means of income. I didn't realize that I was kind of like, becoming a young entrepreneur, you know, before like really understanding what that is. But, you know, I started like doing everyone's hair at school, like braiding. It was also like the era where there was this like basketball player, Allen Iverson, had really like intricate braiding styles.
We know who Allen. Yeah. Like, I don't know if that ages me because I guess you're right. There's people now too young to know.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Like I tell on myself all the time.
I forget. Yeah, his hair kind of was a thing in the 90s, yeah. Wasn't it?
Like his braids were like, yeah, on the, yeah, if you were a basketball fan or just in general. Like,
I wasn't a basketball fan, but I remember his hair. I remember
yeah,
the look.
For sure. Yeah. And also like, you know, sitcoms like where like Brandy, I don't know if you guys ever watched Moesha.
Yes.
Had like box braids. So braids are like a, you know, we're seeing the styles that we're seeing
my
now.
My reference point would be Poetic Justice. For
hello,
the box
Poetic
braids,
Justice,
yes.
Right. But like,
I mean, look
all,
at me, I'm dressed like her.
Oh my God, you are. But all the references we see now are like inspiration from that period, you know? So I was like braiding everyone's hair for like $5-$10 in school. And it was kind of just like a side hustle. I never thought I would like be a hairstylist as a living. I was always intrigued with the fashion space. So I knew I wanted to work in that space, but I thought I was going to do fashion PR because I also I watched this. There was like this TV show. I think it was on MTV. I don't remember. It was about fashion PR. And I saw that show. Yeah. I think it was like Kelly Cattrall.
I remember it.
Yeah.
Oh, and on Earth. Well, no, that was her book.
Was that the name of it?
No, that was her book. Oh my God, I'm forgetting. But the one, I know the one you're talking about. And she was like all the, they were all going crazy. And like, there was the guy with his name, Andrew. Yes.
You wanted that job?
Yeah, I was like, that's just scared the hell out of you.
Not just that. Like, there were other things that I, you know, was intrigued with being in fashion, but not her. I don't know what intrigued me about the show. I can't remember. Like, you know all the characters more than me. But I remember that was part of, like, my inspiration for wanting to work in fashion, but I didn't know that hair would take me there because hair was just it was just something I always knew how to do. It was like a natural thing. So it wasn't until later on that I went to school to properly understand like you know, the foundation of hair and like how to like correct my haircuts and like really understanding the education behind, you know, hair follicles and everything like that. But I started working in the business before I even like became a licensed hairstylist as an assistant, you know? So
question, I have a question. So you go to hair school, but I'm picturing you going to hair school and you knowing so much more than the other people who were there. Like, did you feel that way? Or was everybody in hair school like yourself? Like, I've been doing hair since I was 11, but I just have to go get the certificate and bounce.
Yeah. I have this thing where I like, sometimes I don't really let, I didn't really tell my classmates what I was doing outside of school. And like, because I didn't want anyone to, that for those reasons, like I didn't want anyone to think that I was coming in thinking that I knew more than them. Right. My instructor found out, I don't remember how or if I told them, but I did kind of see like some sort of weirdness of like, them not, you know, and I never want, you know, never wanted to like create any.
You didn't want to show off.
Yeah, that's yeah. I don't, yeah.
Okay. It. Okay.
But yes, but I was going to school at night. The year that I went to school. So fast forward, I did hair in high school. Okay. You know, I worked in a hair salon also. And then I started. The last woman I worked with, she worked in a hair salon. The last woman that I worked in a hair salon with, she did photo shoots, but not like. Like not the shoot kind of like magazines you guys worked with, you know, or that I shoot with. And I assisted her and I saw, you know, I was like part of the experience, the photo shoot. And I got to see the whole, like how photo shoots happen. And that really, you know, excited me to want to pursue it. So I started my own portfolio and then I started assisting and passing my portfolio to different agencies, you know, like contacting them to assist. But the way that I really like got started backstage was just through recommendations from other assistants.
Okay. It's interesting. Yeah, you said like you started doing like, you know, photo shoots backstage. Your, you know, body of work is so broad. You know, you do, you know, you work with a lot of celebrities. Anyone who's listening, you know, who knows your work, like is immediately calling to mind all of this incredible celebrity work that you do. But you also do, you know, like ad campaigns and you do like a lot of commercial work. Where do you feel you're most at home? You're really hard to like kind of pin down as like, oh, Lacey, she does X or Y. Like, where do you feel happiest?
It's interesting that you frame that question that way because for me, I don't like being pinned down.
Well, it's clear. Like you're all over the place.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, yeah, yeah, thank you, by the way. I feel most at home there. If you notice in my work, there is always an element of like an editorial sort of, you know, influence, you know, even with the women that I work with on the red carpet, you know, like if you look at the stuff that I do with like Tessa Thompson, for example, you know, it's always a very like pushing kind of what we've known red carpet hair to be, you know? So I love fashion, you know, I love fantasy hair, but I also like things that are really refined. So even within something that's supposed to be, not so done, there's still, purpose, you know, to the finish of the work that I do. So I feel most comfortable. Yeah. Work. I like interchanging, but I feel most, I love interchanging and I like, doing things that you typically don't expect or you're told you're not supposed to do. So I kind of have like a rebellious, you know, ness to my work and how I approach my work. If that answers your question.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it does.
For sure. You also came up, so you came up in a salon a little bit and also doing your friend's hair. But when you entered into the editorial world, whether it was working with this woman who you were doing some of the photo shoots with, I don't know if this is true, but I know from Jess and my experience, at least in the editorial world, there wasn't a lot of diversity on set when we were first coming up in like the early aughts. Like, I'm wondering, as a Black woman, did that affect your career trajectory? Like, did you see yourself, okay, I'm going to get pigeonholed or I have to pick a path? Like, did it have any influence on what how you ultimately became this like maverick of doing all these things?
Those are also the reason that like I didn't want to be pinned down, because as a woman of color, you often are pigeonholed, you know, to do certain things where while it's exciting to be thought of when people are shooting people of color, because we do want to make sure that they, you know, we are seen in our best light on, you know, in the advertisings or, you know, on the covers of magazine. But it's also nice to be thought of with all hair types and texture, you know, yeah. Because typically, if you can master textured hair, you can master any hair because, you know, our hair takes a lot more patience to understand. You know, there's a lot of understanding because there's misconception, you know, around our hair type and what it's capable of.
Is that still the case? Like from, you know, 15, 20 years ago when you first started to now, do you find that still to be the case? Misconceptions and the ability to pigeonhole?
I think we're getting to a better place now. You know, I think, thank God to the, you know, Black Lives Matter movement, honestly, has really forced the world to open their eyes and
oh yeah, we're about a year, not from Black Lives Matter, but from when it really entered the editorial world, like, oh shit, we got a problem.
Yeah, you know, to really like made us look at ourselves, you know, what are we doing the right things? Are we making the right decisions? Are we supporting everyone the way that they need to be best supported? I remember seeing like this post from this model backstage saying that like everyone, like she did like a time lapse. Do you guys remember seeing this video kind of went viral on Instagram? Like this model, like so many people were passing her by not wanting to do her hair, you know?
Oh my God.
Because people were scared, I guess, to touch her hair. Whoever was backstage didn't have the knowledge. And I think she ended up saying the manicurist did her hair.
I cannot believe the hair team.
Yeah.
That, and you work backstage. Is that a typical, does that happen? Would it be like, okay, Lacey, can you please do this girl? Cause she has textured hair. She has braids.
I definitely, is something that, but I would much prefer you ask me to do her hair, you know, than to someone to send her or someone not to do her hair at all. I would much prefer if I'm back there to be asked to do that. But I think now there is a lot more assistants backstage that are capable of doing textured hair.
Do you feel that young Black hairstylists are getting opportunities to work with talent on set, you know, all hair types? Or do you feel that they're still getting pigeonholed of like, oh, you know, they're really great with Black hair?
I think it is breaking by seeing more visibility, you know, seeing someone, you know, like, you know, a younger hairstylist coming out of beauty school, seeing someone like me do well and being able to showcase that I'm capable of doing all hair types and texture. Mm-hmm. And then I think what's important that younger stylists need to remember, because I feel like I came up in a generation where it was like pre-Instagram, like right before Instagram happened. So I assisted like all the like old school, like legends that, you know, that we know today to like do all amazing things. But I also understand the new school. And sometimes the new school doesn't want to train. And I think it's still important to do that. And I think you should always just learn how to do it. I think that people are still being pigeonholed, but I think that there's more opportunity now to speak up about, you know, and showcase your work. You know, Instagram is a great platform for people to discover you, you know, that in a way that we didn't have the opportunity, yeah. You know, back when we had to like bring our portfolios, you know, what was it? 9x12 or 11x14 portfolios.
God, I remember being in piles near our desks at the magazine and having to send them back. And like, they're so ridiculous.
My God. And the poor messengers, like lugging it, like, you know, God, like getting like arm ache for dragging all those portfolios around. Yeah.
But now, you know, now you have an opportunity to tell your own story from your own point of view and not just from the perspective of an agent or, you know, someone at an agency that might not be able to see your raw talent. You know, yeah. I think that you can demand more to be seen by the level of work that you're producing. You know, you don't have to sit back anymore and wait for someone to give you an opportunity. Go get your opportunity, produce your own shoot, produce your own content, show your work. Mm-hmm. And no one can ignore talent, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah. It doesn't matter how much you're rejected, someone will eventually say yes. There's also, you know, a celebration also not seeing something as like needing to have validation from white people, you know? So, I don't think that you should think about being pigeonholed because you're not getting to do a white person's hair, you know? celebrate what you are doing, and celebrate the opportunities you are given. And if that is important to you to just really show your versatility, then create your own content, team up with people that are like-minded like you and that want to produce the same type of work. And that's kind of how you grow together. And then people can't ignore you once you're doing amazing things.
I think that's great advice.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Now, you mentioned that you're, really inspired by a lot of styles that you're seeing and a lot of different, looks. What are some looks that you're really into right now? And are there any looks that you're like, I'm kind of done with doing that?
Like right now for me, but I go into phases because I love to look at history, and that's really how I, get inspired. Not so much by like Pinterest, I'm like looking at art books and looking at women from like African villages and women from, in the 40s and the 30s and 20s, like inspired by their hair. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm really into retro hair, I'm really into seeing, more of retro hairstyles coming back. Right now I'm kind of bored with baby hairs, that's something that I'm not as, excited as I once were, about, but, I just love to see people like play with like extreme lengths or like, really like challenge what our perceptions are of what, you know, hair can do, you know, with gravity or, you know, stuff like that. So that's what I'm into. I'm just into seeing really experimental hairstyles.
Can we talk about the history stuff, though, a little bit? Because I was curious, I know you always reference history, but do you think it's important for stylists to have that knowledge? Like, if you're doing, like, a Bantu knot, do you want people to know where that came from? Like, how important is that?
That is so important. It's so key, actually, to me, you know, to really, I feel like to really understand, especially if you want to work on photo shoots, you know, and you want to work with directors, I think it's important to understand where things came from, arrived from, you know, to really be able to speak truly on it and really understand, you know, even if you put a spin to the technique, but really like respecting, you know, especially if it's something like involving like a tribe, you know, women, you know, from a tribe, that you want to really respect the heritage of that. And I think that, you know, that gets lost a lot in this new era, you know, of beauty.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to dig into this a little bit. Okay. So,
yeah,
you know, when people say, you know, well, you have to kind of, And people can't see me right now. So I'm kind of like, I'm smiling, but I'm smiling because it's like, I know what you're talking about. And it's difficult to, people say, well, you need to show like appreciation. You need to show the context. But sometimes when someone just shows a picture, we don't know if they know. We don't know if they understand. We can't, because we can't have a conversation with them. We can't. There's not there to kind of like sort of defend themselves, so to speak. How do you kind of gauge? For me, it's like, you know, that like expression, like, you know, it's kind of like, you know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Like for me, that's how I feel. How's your feeling?
I think how you know is you just, it's a feeling, right? You, like sometimes you could just see it like you're saying, but why it's important is because, you know, we're on set, like when we're working, we're referencing like decades so much, you know, like different decades so much. And, you know, it's one thing to be able to do your own makeup or your own hair, you know, on your YouTube channel. But it's like, if you want to work on set, you know, you should really understand those kind of references because, you know, especially on a photo shoot, it's storytelling. So if you want to be able to truly tell the story, you should really understand that woman that you're referencing.
Or, yeah. Or what if, have you ever done a client's hair, like say you want to do a particular type of braid and you have a discussion with them, like, I'm going to give you these braids, but let me give you some background on what they are. Has that ever happened?
Yeah, that happens, but not usually. It's aesthetic, right? So if someone likes how something looks, that's what they, you know, typically as a client. But as a professional, it's important to understand the real
history.
So you're
not going to be like, okay, you know, these are Ghanaian and they've been here. Like, what, you would never do that. You just be like, I'll give you the look you want.
Well, if they're bringing in a photo, I would for sure, you know, I would touch on it potentially, but I've never had that scenario.
Because I feel like I would want to know, like, you know.
Yeah.
But maybe
you're
the
a different,
clients that
you're
you have
a different
know.
Person, yeah. Jen.
And they know. Yeah. What would you like to see more of on the red carpet? Like, you've been, this last year, I've seen some of the looks you've been doing. We haven't really been doing red carpet, but on your Instagram and things, you're really pushing the envelope, doing a lot of storytelling, a lot of historical references. What do you want to see more of? Like, what do you want a client to come to you and be like, please let me do this. We're going to do this for the Oscars.
Oh my gosh. I feel like it's happening. Like I, you know, I did, this director, her name is Garrett, for the Oscars, and we did baby hairs, you know, and like braids, you know, and like, that's, I've never done that for any other Oscars year, you know? So it's nice to see. What I want to see more of is, people's personality, individuality, you know? I feel like for so long, you know, you get dressed up to this event and you're, you know, you want to feel kind of like, you know, like a fairy tale or a princess or whatever. And there's like these really romantic ideas of like what you should look like, you know, but I love seeing people like go against the grain. So that's what I love. It's just seeing more individuality of like people doing them regardless of wherever they're going.
Yeah. So, and when you sit down with a client, say it's for, let's just keep going with this red carpet thing. what influences do you draw on? Do you just listen to them bringing a picture, or are you going to bring out your art books, or like, where are you getting the inspiration for all of this?
So I am so fortunate because I work with so many people that are artists, you know, we're all artists. So it's quite a collaborate, you know, like a collaboration, you know, the process, you know, it's usually involving a group chat with like us and the, you know, with the client, myself, stylist, makeup, you know, and we're like, first you have to know what the dress is, in my opinion. I don't feel like, I'm a good storyteller if I just create random looks without even knowing the other elements that are involved. So yeah. I like to collect all the information before I start the part of my job where, you know, I might mood board and show references, or, you know, and we kind of collectively talk as a team, you know, and decide what works. So it is a very involved process when, you know, people see things on the red carpet and, you know, some things are intentional, you know, like the finishing, like if there's a flyaway or something that could be intentional, you know, that maybe to a person at home might not understand it because they might not understand what the reference is behind the looks that, you know, we're producing.
What's like a great reference someone brought you?
I mean, the Met Gala is always a fun event that people bring like great references. I can't think of one off the top of my head now, but I generally have a ton of references. Like I have like things that I see that remind me of a individual that I work with. Like, oh my God, this is like something so-and-so would love. And, you know, mm-hmm. So I collect them.
Yeah, you mentioned the decades a little bit. Can I ask you about that? Because like, say someone comes to you and they're like, okay, here's the dress. And everybody's looking at it on the team and they're like, oh, 70s vibes all over.
Yeah.
Is your instinct then, okay, I got to do some sort of 70s hair look, or do you like to go against that? Like, are you matchy-matchy, or I feel like Ooh. The contrarian in you is, I don't know, tell me.
Sometimes I want to go there and like, you know, do full on like, you know, typical, like if you had a sequence dress, like, you know, big, like Diana Ross, like sometimes that's the vibe, right? It depends where we're going and what it's called for. But then sometimes I want to go completely against it, you know, and the makeup artist might want to do something really, you know, intricate with the makeup. And then that, for me, that means to peel back with the hair, because you don't want everything to be so like
in sync.
Yeah. So it really, that's why it's important to have synergy in the teams. You know, I feel like the red carpets that you know, we all see that we're all so inspired by is because there's synergy in those team dynamics. You know, everyone is really giving each other space to be creative and to kind of find their own voice. That's usually what it is when you see these like red carpets that really land all the time and it doesn't look like somebody fumbled.
Somebody fumbled. That's funny. It is. It's like that football analogy is kind of hysterical. Like, but yeah, it's like, oh, fumbled.
And then the Monday morning quarterbacking and everybody's like, oh, did you see what so-and-so did last night on the red? Like, Ooh. You know, the morning after when we're at the magazines, we're all talking about like, oh God, they messed up.
Yeah. And you're like, it would have been perfect except that eye. It would have been perfect except that lip, or, you know, whatever it is.
See,
you know,
she whatever said it was the makeup part that was the fault.
Because it's never hair. It's never the hair. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God. I would hate to be a part of like, oh my God, can you imagine if like, yeah, you think it's your, like the eye or the lip. Oh my God. All right. So listen.
Or it could be the hair and it could be the dress. You know, we've seen like.
Have the teams ever come together? I've never thought about this or asked this question. Have the teams ever come together after like a look was not quite right and like kind of done like a little like a SWOT analysis, like, you know, okay, like what went wrong?
Postmortem, they call it, like in the business meeting, like after the fact.
Yeah, I've been like, okay.
Like, guys, this is not our best, like kind of thing.
Yeah. Has that ever happened, or is it just done kind of in silence?
I think it has. I don't remember it happening.
It didn't happen to you, but maybe it's happened to someone.
I feel like it has to have happened.
It has to. I feel like, you know, especially when you work with people for years, you become so close and you're friends that you're, you know, we're all talking like this, like how we're talking. So there definitely are moments where I, like, it's not my best, or, you know, it's not, like, for sure. And you could take ownership of that and understand that, hey, you know, we gave each other room to be creative, and sometimes it lands, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, that's like any kind of creative team. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's get a little bit more technical, okay? You always talk about hair health, which I really like. You're very big on promoting hair health. And, you know, I just want to know, like, what are some tips that we can all take away from this conversation? How can we get our hair a little bit healthier?
Okay. So I don't know if you guys have been following my fitness journey or at all on Instagram, but what I have noticed to be the key to like skin, hair, and nails, it's not something that you can buy as a beauty product. It's water.
I was, you know, I was going to say water, but I didn't know if like I was going to be wrong. So I didn't say anything.
It's water. Okay. Like, honestly, like being hydrated contributes to so much of like the things that we've like our dry hair and like, you know, our nails constantly like breaking and our skin, like, since I've been like trying to drink so much water, you know, because also working out, like you need it to replenish your body. I've noticed a difference in my skin so much.
Your skin looks good. You look good.
Thank you. Thank you. but, you know, aside from that, I think also giving yourself a break, you know, I think also what was thriving so much in 2020 was our hair, nails, and skin, because we weren't like doing so much as we once were, like constantly putting on makeup, you know, and, you know, and but also aside from that, you know, I do love to use products that are not so risky to like try in terms of like my pockets, like spending so much money.
That was a nice way to put that.
Yeah. So I, you know, I do, besides like, I get to try a lot of different products. That's the beauty of, you know, working in this industry, as you guys know, but I do use like, I use some drugstore products like Nexxus and Tresemme, you know, to like really hydrate my hair, you know, and having a lot of hair that I need, I don't like to use expensive conditioners because I need so much of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same. What's your favorite tub? Like what kind of conditioner is like, if a client comes to you and they have damaged hair, do you like, you're like, take this home. Please use this before I see you next time.
Honestly, it really does depend on the hair type, because just because someone's hair looks just like mine, you still might need a different thing. But I've been using the Curl Define from Nexxus because I do work with them, but I also like get the opportunity to try out so many products, you know? So I've been using that a lot, and it's been really, I love the pre-wash because it allows me to, you know, put in my hair. It softens my hair before I shampoo it, you know? And sometimes shampoos can strip your hair of its natural oils. So it adds a layer to like,
you put it
really,
on before you shampoo.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, before I shampoo. And then I kind of like leave it on for a while and I do like whatever around the house, and then I rinse it off and then I put a shampoo or conditioner, or sometimes I just co-wash only.
Okay. Very cool.
I while you were talking, I was like, oh, I wonder how she feels about protective styles. Cause I know there's like two camps of like, cool, you're protecting your hair, or it's pulled so damn tight, you're ruining your hair and your protective hairstyle.
Yes.
How do you feel about like a protective hairstyle in between some things that might do damage to hair? And like, what are the ones that are actually protective?
So I think just like anything, too much of a good thing can be too much, you know? So even with protective styles, you still need to give your hair a break in between doing
like
protective
with zero style.
Yes. So like in between you getting your hair, let's say box braided, you know, constantly for a while, you want to also have a period where you let your hair, you know, rest, you know, and so that you're not pulling too much of your hairline and causing your hairline to recede, you know, prematurely or at all. So I love protective styles because, you know, as a person, you know, with textured hair, it is easy for me if I were to go on vacation or, you know, some days, you know, I'm like, I work out, you know, like it helps, you know, it can help like me if I was like, you know, working out and not having to worry about my hair so much.
Yeah. Wait, what's your go-to, like, I'll say quickie, like protective style for a workout?
Well, me personally, I've been pulling my hair back in a ponytail with like a bandana.
Yeah, there you go.
but I do love like the idea of braids, you know, for people to do when working out. Cause you also get like, when you take it out, you can get like a cute texture too.
Oh yeah. The like salt of the sweat. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Carry on, Jess. Okay. Sorry.
All right. If you had lost your kit, okay. Like just imagine the horror. Okay. You lose your kit. What
the airline loses your kit.
Oh my God.
Ooh, bad, bad,
devastating.
Bad. Okay. Let's not even say that. Okay. Poop, poop, poop. What would you do? What would you rebuy? What product would you rebuy or what tool would you go and rebuy right away?
Okay. First of all, this has happened. Like landing somewhere where your kit didn't make it on the flight like, you know, being in a foreign country and like your tools, because of the power, like not like, and you having to like figure it out. I've often had to use hotel blow dryers and they are not fun. Not often. Like most of them are not up to par. Yeah. So I've had to make it work a lot. That's why for me, I don't rely on products, you know, because I like, if I had to lose my kit,
there's got to be like a brush in there.
Oh yeah. It's in my Mason Pearson for sure. For sure. For sure. Because it's the most expensive brush in my kit. And that's why, like, you know, people backstage will like put their names on it, you know,
or
more than just like, we would like put nail, like our initials with nail polish, but more than that, we would like scratch our, our initials in, because especially if you have a new Mason Pearson, someone will like come backstage and be like, yeah, that's mine, you know? And then you're like, that is not yours. My name is scratched in, you know? So that is the one.
It's funny.
One like brush that would absolutely drive me nuts. Also my shears, you know, because and most of my brushes though, like I like to use a lot of like Japanese made tools. I like how they make their tools there.
What are these fancy Japanese brushes that you used? Is there a brand that you like?
Yeah, YS Park. I mean, I shouldn't be plugging anybody that's not sending me. No, I'm kidding. YS Park is the name of the brushes.
And your shears, that's like when you're cutting, like do you always use the same pair?
Depending on what I'm doing, like detailing, like I use thinning shears, you know, I use a lot of razor because I, even on my extensions, you know, I like to use, I like things that give me control.
You know, I feel like with her workouts and everything, I'm like, don't mess with Lacey. She's got a plan and like get on board. What about some other products other than hair products or for your clients? What about for yourself? Like,
okay. Skincare. I'm really,
yes, into,
I'm
let's
not,
do it.
Yeah. I'm not so much of a makeup girl per se. I wear makeup when I have to wear makeup. Like if I'm going to be on camera or, you know, sometimes when I want to be cute, if I'm going out, you know, with the girls or whatever, but, skincare is my thing. I love, love, love skincare. So, I love like any sort of moisturizer, you know,
We want specifics, like regimen.
I'm using, I'm using a lot of Fenty right now.
Okay.
Your skin looks
so
good.
Thank you. So I use, there's this, the Fenty Skin. I'm really terrible at names, so I...
Oh, we know them all. There's the cleanser, the fat water, okay, the sunscreen. Okay, yeah,
so the fat water, I use the... What's the one that... the cream for the shower?
Oh, is it a cleanser? Or
The cleanser.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I use that...
Like the very first product she came out with,
yeah,
I think,
so I use that, and then I use
it's
the fat...
It's lovely. It smells good.
Yeah, then I use the fat water.
Okay.
And then there's a night cream that I use at night.
Oh, you're like, you've got the whole Fenty regimen.
The whole system.
Yeah, I have the whole thing. But I also really love Weleda? Weleda?
Weleda.
Weleda. Weleda. Yes. Yeah. I really love Weleda's like cream because it's really, as a hairstylist, my hand gets so dry. Because
oh, is it the skin food in the green
yes,
tube?
Yes, the skin food. Yes, I love the skin food because maybe for some people it might be too heavy, but for me it's perfect because I have to wash my hands so much, mm-hmm. especially now during COVID, like I wash my hands so much. And just in general, I like products. I like to feel things. So I do put a lot of product on my hand when I'm working on somebody's hair. So it might be like hairspray sometimes to like physically put away a flyaway or creams or whatever. So I do wash my hands so frequently that I need a moisturizer like that really, help me moisturize my skin. Yeah. So I use a skin food. I'm so bad with names. I feel like I need to go to my bathroom and bring the products in front of you.
Like, about fragrance?
Yes.
Tell us.
I like the Saint Laurent Black Opium. I think
Jess loves that one.
So
yeah.
Huggable, right? Did you feel like you should be hugged all over after?
I love that fragrance. But really, really, what is my thing are candles.
Welcome to the club.
I love a scented candle. Like if you want to give, like if you don't know what to give me and you want to give me a gift, get me a candle. Like I love.
Or a Mason Pearson brush.
Or a Mason Pearson brush, yes.
What candle are you burning right now?
I do a lot of Diptyque. So I do the base. I love the peony fragrance from Jo Malone.
Yeah. Oh, Peony and Suede.
Yes, peony, first of all, is my favorite flower. I just, they're now like...
So beautiful.
Whole Foods has them now.
It's a season. Short, too. So get them while you can.
Exactly. Run, do not walk. So I have, so I love that fragrant in the candle as well. I just love all candles. I'm just a candle girl.
Well,
you
now
know?
I know what to get you.
Yes.
Those are good ones.
Great.
All right, this is so fun. But before we let you go, you have to do the Fat Mascara 5. I don't think I warned you about this, but we do this with all... Well, you listen, so you might know. We do this with all our guests, a little speed round.
It's really...
Let's do it.
Quick and dirty, just like quick word association. Ready?
Okay.
Okay. What is the first beauty product you fell in love with?
Okay, what was the first? I do know. And it's not even fancy. I'm not even a fancy girl. I'm just thinking about things that are nostalgic to me that, like, you know? Okay.
So what was it?
Like, I love Jergens lotion.
I get Perfect. It.
I love Jergens lotion. Yeah.
What quality do you admire the most in others?
I love people that are capable of just being authentically them, like, without... no apologies, like unapologetically whoever they are. Like I respect people that, that can just really speak their mind.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Okay. If there were one rule you wish everyone would follow, what would that rule be?
To be yourself. And just also just to be kind. I feel like, you know, so much of what's going on in the world is because we don't have understanding. Mm-hmm. So I really wish we had more of that.
I agree. I'm always saying agree after people say, I'm like, do I need to say that? I don't know if I need to say that. Just let them talk. Let them talk, Jess. Okay. Sorry, Ryan.
I love it.
Okay. Because I'm never going to be like, I disagree. But like when I agree, I say, I agree.
Okay, yeah, okay. When you agree.
Okay. What is the most played song on your playlist right now?
Ooh, what is the most played song right now? Oh, I've been playing a lot of Erykah Badu. Like I play a lot of music stations. So mm-hmm. I play like a lot of Erykah Badu right now. I don't know if there's a specific song, but I just play a lot of different playlists.
Like the Spotify Erykah Badu radio is pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I do a lot
of Pandora too. SWV, I've been playing a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
They're taking it back.
They just did the verses on Saturday with Escape, and I just realized like how.
Oh my god! I need to go. I hope that was recorded.
It was, okay. And you'll see me all in the comments. Like I was like fangirling so hard. I was like, please, Coco, sing for us. Like I was like,
that's funny. I was into Jodeci this weekend for some reason, but I feel like it's just maybe the vintage is in the air.
I don't know. Like right here, SWV. It's probably something I've been playing a lot, and you know, just in general,
double V.
Oh my God.
So catchy. Okay.
Okay. And then if there were, it's like I'm reading this for the first time. If there were to be a movie made of your life, who would narrate it?
OMG. Oh my God. Who would narrate? My son.
How old is your son?
He's 8.
Oh my God, I want him to narrate it.
And he's such a great storyteller. And he always surprises me of how well he knows me, you know? So he would be able to like really tell that story so well, honestly.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
We agree.
I agree. So yeah, like cast him.
We hope you enjoyed the show.
It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.